Future Proof with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Welcome back to Future Proof on News Talk. It is our weekly science program here. My name is Jonathan McRae. If you are out in the woods today, you might be in for a surprise. Tiny, silent, and often unnoticed, ticks can change your life. They are on the rise in Ireland, and with them, a disease that's both underreported and often misunderstood, Lyme disease. Owen Healy is a doctor and retired research associate at UCC School of Biological, Earth and Environment Sciences. He joins me now. Owen, how do we go about picking up ticks before we start talking about Lyme disease at all? What are they, and how do they appear on humans and dogs and animals and so on?
Hi, Jonathan. Firstly, thank you for inviting me. Yeah, ticks are tiny, and they exist in a number of life stages: larva, nymph, and adult. And the most dangerous one is the nymph, because it is so small that you will barely detect it on your skin. You certainly won't see it on dark clothes. So it's very, very easy to actually pick up a nymph or indeed a larva and be unaware of it. They're effectively, I won't say everywhere in rural areas, but they're certainly widespread. I have found them in 24 of the 26 counties in the Republic. They're more common in rough land, in forestry, than they are in short grass pasture. So anybody who's doing hill walking or doing forest trails are likely to encounter ticks.
Okay. And so that happens a lot during the summer, of course. Lots of people going on hikes and enjoying the splendors of Ireland.
Exactly.
What is it that attracts a tick, and how do they latch on to skin or to the fur of a dog?
Well, ticks have very little ability to move sideways. So they climb vertically on vegetation and they wait. They wait and they wait, basically until their fuel runs out. They have a limited supply of energy, and that can't be replenished unless they get a blood meal from a passing animal, what we call a host animal. Could be a human, could be a bird, could be a small mammal, could be a deer or other large mammal.
Right.
So they wait, and they are aware of, at least they're aware of temperature and CO2 from a passing human, and they're possibly picking up other chemical signals as well. Once the human is close to the vegetation in which a tick is poised, they begin to wave their front legs wildly, and it's extremely simple to for the tick to actually attach. I've actually posted a video of a tick making contact with my finger on a LinkedIn article.
So they basically feel around when someone's passing by, and they've got these sort of very, obviously not sticky, but adhesive type feet that will dig in, much like a lot of insects have these sort of tiny spikes that allow them to grip onto the insect.
Yeah.
And they essentially hitch a ride on the human or dog as they're passing. Mm. So what size are we talking about when we say they're very tiny? Like,
you're talking about two to three millimeters.
Okay, wow.
Tiny.
And they're so kind of like not even as big as the size of a piece of rice.
Yeah, not smaller than a grain of rice, and dark.
Yeah, gosh.
And dark.
And so once they've attached, then what do they do?
Well, they'll move around until they find a blood vessel, a suitable blood vessel. You'd often find them. I've found them under my watch strap. They'll go into the armpit. They'll find warm, moist areas, blood vessel. They'll penetrate the skin. They'll use an enzyme which will digest the collagen in the skin so they can penetrate. And at the same time, they inject an anesthetic so that we won't feel the actual penetration. So that they're embedded, and we'll see them perhaps if they're on an arm, but if they're at the back of your leg or somewhere else, you just won't find it.
But actually, am I right in saying that the ticks themselves aren't actually dangerous?
Well, the tick itself isn't dangerous. No, not really. They can be dangerous to deer in the sense that if there's a heavy tick load, it can stunt the growth of the of young animals. But, you know, to be bitten by two or three ticks or whatever, for a human, it's of no consequence, apart from the fact that the important fact that 10% of the ticks are carrying a bacteria called Borrelia, which can cause the development of what we call Lyme disease, or in Europe they call it borreliosis.
Right. So this the tick itself is just a typical parasite. It doesn't really benefit in any way from this bacteria. It just wants to nourish itself on our blood, like a lot of blood feeding parasites. But this bacteria that these ticks can be infected with, this bacteria Borrelia is the thing that can lead to Lyme disease.
That's what causes the
How does it how does the bacteria turn into Lyme disease? Does it cause an autoimmune response, or does it what is the mechanism of infection?
Okay, well, the Borrelia enters the bloodstream as the tick begins to suck blood from the host animal, from you or I. And it's aided by the tick. It's quite incredible how the level of cooperation between that has evolved between the tick and the Borrelia. In that the tick will actually inject an enzyme into the human, which will attempt to disable the human's immune response.
And how do we know that is related to Borrelia? Why would the tick benefit from the human being infected by a pathogen?
Well, this is quite technical and complex, but ticks and Borrelia worldwide have very ancient associations. The group that ticks belong to is thought to have arisen about 420 million years ago. And if we assume that ticks and Borrelia have been together since then, they've been through billions of generations to fine-tune their co-adaptation to each other, to the hosts that they attack, and to the environment in which they live.
But we don't know what the adaptation was initially to bring these two organisms together, because typically when we see a parasite on a host and it's a symbiotic relationship, the mechanism by which each benefits from the other is quite clear. But here it sounds like the bacteria is just a passenger on the tick, and the tick doesn't benefit from having that bacteria. So I wonder, was this something evolutionarily back that that led to this relationship that is now sort of broken, but because they're intertwined, they've developed together to the benefit of the bacteria, or is there something we're missing?
Well, most host-parasite relationships evolve over time into some of them at least into symbiotic ones, where the parasite causes less damage to the host. In the case of ticks and Borrelia, the tick actually gains an advantage by being infected by carrying the Borrelia. Ticks that carry the Borrelia quest in the vegetation at a lower level than those that are not infected. And this means that they actually use less energy. When ticks are on vegetation, they do become dehydrated over time.
Yeah.
And they need to walk back down through the vegetation to the moist undergrowth to rehydrate.
Right.
The further they have got to walk down and back up again, the more energy they use.
Of course.
So there is an advantage for a tick to be infected.
The infection with the bacteria in some way manages to allow them to last longer.
Yes.
At the top of the grass.
Yes.
And makes it then more likely that they're going to find a host.
Wow. Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit about Lyme disease then. So this bacteria is injected into the bloodstream, and the process of this attempts to disable the immune system. What happens when this bacteria gets into the bloodstream, and what is Lyme disease?
Okay, The first sign of developing Lyme disease is the development of what's called a erythema migrans. It's a red bullseye rash, a circular rash with a red area in the middle and an expanding red ring. And that's caused by, as the bacteria spread radially away from the site of the bite, the bacteria gets into the bloodstream, it circulates, and it may penetrate one or several organs, typically joints, the heart, the nervous system. And from there, the infection will promote a feeling of, in the victim, will promote an inflammatory reaction.
Sort of a flu, sort of. Often people have sort of a flu-type symptom.
Exactly,
right?
A flu-type symptom, which effectively is an inflammatory response to the infection. When caught and treated, diagnosed and treated at that stage, people generally respond to antibiotic treatment and kind of fully recover.
Yeah, because it's not a virus, it's a bacteria, so antibiotic treatment is good. But presumably, given the fact that most people can't spot the ticks and most people would sort of dismiss a flu-y cold symptom as a virus and assume that it's not going to go any further, this disease progresses in a large number of patients because it's just not spotted, right? What sort of level of diagnoses do we have? I mean, is it something that's very common? And do medical professionals and people know how to tell Lyme disease from an ordinary flu?
Well, it's generally thought that the primary diagnostic signal is the bullseye rash. But in fact, in many cases, the rash may be irregular. It may not be circular. It may not look like a bullseye rash. So if a GP has been trained to recognize the bullseye rash and then sees something that actually doesn't conform with that shape, then they may dismiss it and say, well, that's not a typical Lyme rash, so it's not Lyme. Also, perhaps 30% of people who go on to develop Lyme disease never exhibit a rash at all.
Oh, God. So this sounds like... ticks are on the rise. We are getting a rise typically of Lyme disease as well. What happens if you get full-blown Lyme disease, and how do we treat something like that?
Disseminated Lyme disease, when it has actually spread into an organ and is diagnosed late, what we would call late, maybe several months after the initial bite, treatment response to antibiotics can be very slow. In many cases, people never fully recover. Treatment options in Ireland are extremely limited. Well, the chronic Lyme can result in massive fatigue, severe joint pain and disruption to their mobility. In other cases, if the borrelia has attacked heart tissue, it can be carditis.
It's actually horrifying, because it sounds like that some very serious consequences from something as innocent as going for a walk in the woods. And while that is terrifying, we do need to put a little bit of context on it. So, you know, you have to have been unfortunate enough to pick up a tick. That tick then unfortunately has to have, that bacteria. So that's 8 to 9% of ticks have that bacteria. And then our immune response often actually deals with this for various reasons. And we end up not developing Lyme disease, but we're still talking about a reasonable risk. And for some of those things, the fact that there isn't proper treatment, that is worrying for people. So just be careful out there. Dr. Owen Healy is a retired research associate at UCC School of Biological Earth and Environment Sciences at UCC. And thanks in particular to Niamh from TikTok, who sent us in an email saying that we should cover this absolutely fascinating interview. So thanks for that, Niamh. And Owen, thanks again.
Thank you.
Future Proof with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
Sundays from midday on News Talk.